All things belong to us. Now, that's not just material things. It's not just talking about that. It's talking about all of these functions, all of these rights, all of these privileges belong to us because we belong to Christ and because Christ belongs to God. Now, when Jesus came, he spoke in his Father's name. And he says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to see this ahead of time. I don't speak anything unless I hear him speak it, and he speaks it out. Well, this delegated, assigned authority comes to us because we're really the agent, we're the representative of Jesus. Now, Jesus was really saying, you know, I won't be with you very long, but I'm going to leave my name for you. And if you look at the disciples, and this is so fascinating to me, Barbara, in the Gospels, the disciples and Jesus, and because of Jesus, did a lot of miracles. They went out and performed miracles. At one point, he says, I want you to go out, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, and, you know, bring people in, really into the kingdom of God. But then these same weak, and I'm going to say sometimes confused, and sometimes they just turned their back, like Peter turned his back on Jesus, you know, at the time of the crucifixion. But later on, this mighty power of the Holy Spirit came on them, and they became inflamed apostles using the name of Jesus in a sense of a power of authority.
Yes.
And they did supernatural, phenomenal, most unusual miracles in the book of Acts because of that power of attorney.
Darren, that is a thing that absolutely brings me to tears. It makes me very emotional to know that I'm the one that sinned. And yet Jesus came and gave me this wonderful, wonderful power of attorney through his word that I might be an overcomer. Now, if we have a friend who commits a sin, he does something, he causes some slander against us, and it causes us to lose our job or to really come into a horrible situation in our life, would we take that so-called friend, that one who double-crossed us, and put him in a high position in our next company? No, we probably wouldn't. We would say, hey, man, he sinned back there. I don't trust him at all. He might do the same thing to me again. I'm never going to call him a friend again. Well, Jesus here took a sinner, us, and he placed him above all other creation. And I'll tell you, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, there is such a phenomenal miracle that happens there, Darren.
Well, I can tell you about that miracle, and it's righteousness. When we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, forgive our sins, we change kingdoms, and we become the very life nature of God, and that's called righteousness. We become the life of God on the earth, or the nature of God, or the righteousness of God on the earth. And again, he says here, when it comes to a power of attorney, I'm going to ask you to perform all the acts, intents, and purposes that I would perform as if I were here in person. I'm going to ask you to perform those in my name, in my absence.
Yes.
I think that is such a wonderful, wonderful concept. And one of the reasons that we can do that is that in Ephesians 2:6 it says, we're raised up and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:17 says that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Father God, through Jesus, through his suffering, through the payment for death and disease and all of those things, he's made us joint heirs like Jesus on the earth.
That's right. And what he did, he gave us all the tools to bring our authority into absolute realization. Now, I talked to a lady 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she was employed by a company that wanted her to do sales jobs. They gave her a book to read for 4 or 5 days, and then they pushed her out the door and said, okay, now go make cold calls. And for a person that had never done that, this was a shock to her and her system. Now, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus has given us his word here, and in Colossians 1:26, he says that mystery that has been talked about all through the word, that mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, it has now been manifested to his saints. And that's us, Darren. And to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So don't tell us, and don't say that God hasn't revealed his mysteries to you. And when you're listening to this tape, you're going to say, hey, God didn't tell me anything. Yes, he did. His word tells you that. His word tells you, his message is that he has revealed this mystery to you. And as you read his word, he will reveal it more and more. Here it talks about, we have been given all power and all authority, Darren. That that tells me that as long as I read this word, he's going to give me more and more wisdom and understanding and knowledge and what he wants me to do.
Now, when you begin to move in to take authority and speak in God's authority and his ability and his power, you're going to be challenged. You're absolutely going to be challenged. And I have to go back because sometimes we feel like we're so isolated, and then we'll come back to Colossians. But in John chapter 11, Jesus gives the story of Lazarus. And it says, when he prayed, and so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou always hearest me. Now, that's something that we really need to get straight in our minds as we study some of these depths of Scripture, that in our struggles, as we're clawing our way to a new height of a new revelation, we have to know that God knows what we're doing, that he always hears us when we pray, even if we're not praying exactly right on the money. And Jesus goes on to say, I knew that you always heard me, but because of the people standing around, I said that they may believe that thou didst send me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Some of us need to cry out to God and let him raise us up out of our grave clothes of unbelief and ignorance and really a low understanding of who he is. We need to raise up and realize exactly what he says is true, that we've been made complete and that we can go for it and that we can have this authority flowing through our lips.
I believe, Darren, we really have to take that by faith.
We
truly do, because
this,
every day we are hit in the head with the temptation to believe that we are nothing. But as we establish ourselves and we do confidence verses, like we teach so many of the people, confidence verses, I cast not away my confidence, for it has a great reward. These are going to help us establish the fact that he has come to teach us about all wisdom and understanding.
Well, now, let me just say something about a process here of faith. We're presenting some concepts that some of you listening today may not have ever heard before. And maybe you're saying, well, boy, that sounds really good to me. How can I get that operational in my life? Let me tell you how I do it, and I believe Barbara does it this way. You could say something like this. Father God, by faith, I receive this teaching, this revelation knowledge on the power of attorney. I receive it by faith. That's step one. Now here's step two. Say, Father, because I've asked in faith, I believe I have received by faith. That's step two. And step three, thank you, Jesus, I have received this teaching and that I have it now in my heart. Now, if you'll do that, you will find that, at least for me, it works in a few hours or a few days. It's operating in my life because I received it by faith. I confessed I had it by faith and I went on by faith.
That's right. And that's exactly what Colossians 2:6 says, Darren. It says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him. Lead your life through Jesus. And it says in verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And then these are the wonderful verses in Colossians 2.
Wait just
two.
A minute, Barbara. Would you go back and read that one more time? Because I have something from Holy Spirit I want to share.
Okay.
What you just read.
All right. So as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Remember, thankfulness is so important. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophies and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ.
Now, I believe that there are so many teachings that go right along with what you're talking about. The elementary principles of the world, a lot of things that are really not gospel, really not founded in Scripture, and we have to be wise in Holy Spirit to fight that off, or it becomes a part of our fabric of understanding, and it becomes really established as unbelief in our hearts. It glazes over the Scripture. Let me say it that way. It filters the Scripture so that we really don't get what it really says.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've let these traditions of men, these elementary teachings creep in there, and it keeps us from going to higher ground.
It really does.
And we cannot allow that to happen.
It changes us and puts handcuffs on us. But verse 9 of Colossians 2, oh, this is so dramatic. For in him, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And if anybody tells you Jesus is not deity, don't